in the next 4 weeks, go over the operation of faith, because faith has a certain way it operates. And a lot of people think that faith is just simply saying, I believe. But I hope today to show you a way of operating in faith to more than just saying, I believe, because there's a little bit more to it than that. And then we're going to talk about the measure of faith. The Bible speaks about to every man was given the measure of faith. And then we're going to talk about faith in practice. And then finally, victory through faith. So those are the roadmap that we're going to. Of course, the Lord could change that. We may not get through more than the measure of faith if this September is it, right? Who knows what September, is it 13th? Feast of Trumpets. All right. We've done so much teaching on this, so I'm going to test you all. So who can name all of the feasts in order? You don't? All right, give me the first one, somebody. Passover? No. Unleavened bread? First fruits? Pentecost? No. So they said that already. No, after trumpets. Who said trumpets? Trumpets, and then what? Atonement. Yes, you said atonement. Atonement, and the last one? Tabernacles. So the first three have to do with Jesus' first coming. The unique one is Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. And the last three, the fall feasts, have to do with his second coming. The first four of the seven have been literally fulfilled. Jesus was our Passover. He was the unleavened bread. He was our first fruits. Amen. And then on the Feast of Pentecost was the church's birth. So now we're waiting for the last three to come to being. So who knows? We may not get past the measure of faith. Every fall, I wonder, is this it? Amen. But we're going to tarry till he comes. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the operation of faith today. And I'm going to give you a scripture that you might not think has much to do with faith. Genesis 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Notice that. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now, this is there's some amazing scriptures in the Bible. And this is one of them to me. This they begin to do, and now, what does it say? Nothing. Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Does anyone else think that's an amazing scripture? Why? Well, God is saying, Sister Johnny, go ahead. They were on one accord, that's true. They had one accord, they were in unity, and they had one language. But here's the thing that struck me was God himself said nothing that they had imagined to do could they not do. Their only limitation is what they can do what? What's their limitation? What they can imagine. I don't know if that hits you. God is saying that their only limitation is what they can imagine. And that's why God is still bigger than us, because there's some things we can't imagine. But man was created such that anything he can imagine to do, the Bible says he could do it. Our limitation is our imagination. And who knows what I call our imagination? What's another name I've called our imagination? Our faith organ. You didn't know, and the doctors don't know, but you have a faith organ. It's one they can't directly operate on. They can't see it with a CT scan or with an ultrasound. But it's probably the most powerful organ, spiritual organ, your imagination. And this is what I want to tell you is a key to faith. When I said it's more than just saying I believe, you have to get that belief where you imagine it actually happening. Because it's that that will bring it to fruition. Isn't that what it says? Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have said, I believe we can build this tower. No, they had it imagined. They had already seen it finished. You have to see the finished work in your imagination. And that's what we're going to explain today, how faith works in operation, so that you can move from just saying, I believe, to visually seeing it come to pass. Because that is the key according to this scripture, and that's why God had to interfere, because they imagined something that was against God's plan. And even though it was against God's plan, the Bible says it was still going to happen. It was still going to happen. Anything which they have imagined to do was going to happen. So let's look at what the classical definition in the New Testament. It says, Hebrews, in book of Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what does it say? You see, in your imagination, you can see things that can't be seen with your natural eyes. If I said Paris and told you to close your eyes, who's been to Paris? Three people. I've been close to Paris, but I never did go to Paris. But if most of us have never been to Paris, if we were told Paris and close their eyes, what would be the first thing you would imagine? The Eiffel Tower. Do you see how this works? It's in your imagination that faith becomes a reality. It's the evidence of things not seen with the human eyes, but has to be seen with your imagination. And that's what the whole point of faith is. Not just saying, I believe, but it's now seeing it in your imagination. Because although none of us, well, except for the five who held up their hand, have been to Paris, we can see it as if we've been there. We can start to visualize it. So faith has to do with your imagination. Things not seen. So there is a deep relationship with faith and sight, but not the sight with your natural eyes, but the sight in your imagination. That's why most of the time we close our eyes when we want to imagine something, because this knowledge, this sense knowledge, tries to defy and override our imagination. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. She saw that the fruit was good to eat. She started to believe her five senses other than the imagination, the word that had gotten into her imagination from God. So that's what we're going to explore today, is the dimension of faith, because faith is a dimension. Amen. So faith is seeing the invisible, and that sounds impossible. But when you close your eyes, now I'm sure all of us, there's some things that we would like God to do. Is anybody have nothing God want they want to do for them? I have several things I want God to do for me. And one of the exercises I would encourage you to do is to just close your eyes. And whatever it is you ask God to do, see it. See it as done. And when you start to do that, I found most people I do that test with, they can't help but start to smile. They see it, they start to see the thing done. They visualize it spiritually. And they can't help but smiling. It's amazing. Now, that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying about the operation of faith. It's more than saying believe. But if you can get that belief to where you can spiritually see the thing, a done deal, you're more than halfway there. Because you're starting to use that spiritual organ that the doctors can't find. There's no operation for that. Though a lot of us need an operation on our spiritual organ. We don't know where it is. That's what this Sunday school is for this morning. Is to understand where faith really operates. It's through your imagination. So let's go on. To show you how the tie between the seeing the invisible and faith, let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says, listen to this, for the invisible things. And this is another one of those profound Bible verses. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How can you see invisible things? Inside of you, in your spirit, in your imagination. Paul here is declaring that God has placed some invisible things in all of mankind. So there won't be any excuse. It says, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So it's the invisible things that are eternal, the things that you can't see, the things that you can't touch. I was reading an article last week in a scientific magazine, and it was talking about glass. And glass is actually a very strange thing. Does anyone know scientifically what they classify glass as? Well, it's made of sand, silica, but glass is not actually a solid. So, that's right. It's actually a very, very special kind of liquid. They have found that churches that were built 900 years ago, the glass has flowed. Its reason is it's moving so slowly, you can't see it. But glass is actually a very special kind of liquid. And if those windows were there hundreds of years, the glass would actually flow. It's actually flowing, but you can't see it. It's amazing. The point I'm making, it's the invisible things that have the reality. Although we can't see it, they've gone back and measured glass that was put in churches hundreds of years ago. And at the bottom, they can actually now see that it has flowed, that it is actually a very special kind of liquid. That's what glass is. Paul here is saying it's the invisible things. You can't see love. But the Bible tells us that what? Above all things, God is love. The Bible says God so loved the world. But you see, the invisible things give rise to the natural. Love gives rise to an action. God so loved that he gave. That's what Paul is saying here. It says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every single tribe, every single grouping of human beings has sought to worship something. Why? Because there's an innate sense that there's something bigger than ourselves, that there's something more out there. And this is rooted in our imagination. It's our faith organ. And Paul here is saying it's the invisible things of him from the creation of the world that are clearly seen. What I'm trying to show you is the connection right now between faith and your imagination. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding. It's your understanding. There are many animals that have eyes. There are lots of animals that have eyes that are better than ours. But guess what they lack? Understanding. They don't have the imagination organ, the capacity to look in a mirror and recognize who they're looking at. They say a lion has 6 times better light gathering ability than we do at night. A lion can hunt in the dark just by the amount of starlight that's there. So if it was a battle of who has the better natural eyesight, the lion would win. But what the lion doesn't have is the eyes of understanding, the faith organ, your imagination. It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know. It's only because of that understanding that we can know what is the hope of this calling. Christopher yesterday had to do a very sad funeral. Two 19-year-old boys, they were twins. One of them had a seizure. He had been suffering from seizures. And a week ago, the seizure was so violent that it burst something and he died. And Christopher taught him at high school, so the family asked him if he would come and do the funeral. But of course, none of them are in church, none of them are saved. And it was so, I could tell when he came yesterday, he was so devastated and upset about it. Bible says that we are not to be like that. We do not sorrow as them that have no hope. And the reason why we have hope is because we have an understanding. We have the eyes of our understanding open, that there is more than what you can physically see. There's probably angels right now sitting in this building. God has promised that. Amen. He said he shall put his angels in charge of thee. He says the angel of the Lord encampeth. It's not a casual walk by. He encamps around them that what? Fear him. So we do not sorrow as them that have no hope, because the eyes, our faith organ, has been enlightened. Do you know when you want to build muscles, what do? You lift weights. So now you understand when you pray, Lord, give me more faith. What are you asking for? You want your faith organ exercised. That means God is going to give you some things that you can't see how it's going to work out. You don't know how it's going to work out. There is no sight. There is no reason how it could possibly work out. Because the only organ that can lift that weight is your faith, is your imagination. Is your imagination. You need at that point to understand, okay, Lord, I'm gonna go to the spiritual gym. You've come there today. I'm going to start lifting some spiritual weights. I'm going to start closing my eyes and seeing this thing done. I'm going to visualize it, this thing done. In Genesis, God already told you that nothing, he didn't even limit it. The only limitation is what a human being can imagine. And the only reason God is greater than us is because we can't imagine all the things he can. But as far as imagination, God said nothing that they have imagined would be restrained, would be stopped. Would be stopped. God had to actually come down and cause disunity to stop it. He had to cause disunity to stop it because they were on one accord, they had one language, and they were going places. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. It's only through our faith organ can we really know God. Did you know that? Without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. You know, we'd all like God to just come and visually show up and start speaking to us. And he did that 2,000 years ago. And still, there were people, amazingly, who didn't believe. Who didn't believe. Jesus made the point by telling the parable of the rich man. And when he died and went to hell, went into the grave, he said, but couldn't you send someone back from the grave? If someone came back from the grave, they would believe. Abraham said, they won't. And Jesus, just to prove it, did it. And still not everybody believed. So faith is not something you're going to get to just by logic. There's no logic if you don't want to accept anything that will ever prove the existence of God. No matter what happens, people will say it's a trick. If the dead raised up, someone will say it's a trick. That's what they said in Jesus' time. Even when they said it wasn't a trick, they said, well, he didn't do it. The demons did it. So faith is something that you have to choose. You have to choose to use your imagination to believe God. You have to see it as a completed work. Because that's how God looks at us. If God was looking at us the way we really are, it'd be a mess. But he is not looking at you in this flesh. He's looking at you as the completed product. He's looking at you as his son, as his beloved son, as his beloved daughter. He's not looking at you half-baked, because the Bible says he sees the end and the beginning all at once. He can see the finished work on Calvary. When he said it's finished, as soon as he died, he saw all of the redeemed, all that were going to be saved in that sense, as a completed work. He's not coming back to deal with sin, the scripture says. That's why we have this hope. If you can start to see that, if you can believe, and the first step in believing is believing that God loves you. And that would be so powerful. And I've said it every now and then. I said, close your eyes and just believe that right now God is saying, this is my beloved son. He calls us in the book of John his beloved. If we really believe that we were his beloved, imagine how much power our prayers would be. If we could imagine Jesus just standing there with welcoming arms, just saying, I've been waiting for you. I've got so many things for you. We like to quote the scripture in Jeremiah about, I know the plans and the thoughts. But do we believe that in our imagination? Do we see it? Can we see, oh, my family getting saved? My job coming through? Do we see it? Most of the times we are surprised when God actually does stuff. Wow, he did it. Like we really didn't believe or expect it to happen. But when we have passed from doubt, we can see the thing as a finished product. The eyes of your understanding. So, That's where the battle is. We last month we were on spiritual warfare. And we were talking about how the battle really is for your mind, because he knows if he can squash your faith organ, you're as good as dead. If he can make doubt and fear spiritually come into your life, then you will be stunted. So your soul is the vehicle where your faith organ really works. And your mind is the engine which powers that process. Your mind is where you see things that cannot be sensed. Do you know, they have done studies, and there's a group of scientists that believe eventually they'll make computers and robots that are exactly like human beings. But there's a small minority of scientists who say, no, they never will. And there's a reason for that. It's because back in the 30s, there was this great mathematician, and well, there were two of them, and his name was Gödel. And he proved mathematically a theory that there is no complete theory. Believe it or not, it's called Gödel's undecidability theory. You didn't know you're going to hear about theories coming to Sunday school, but I throw that out. And what his theory proved was that there is no such thing as a complete theory. What that means is that human beings can do some things that computers can never do. We can know certain things that a computer cannot understand. And for that reason, they'll never be able to make one like that. Because you see, we are not just atoms and molecules. We have a soul. That is the difference. That will be the difference. So your soul is where your faith organ manifests. That's what powers your faith organ. And so the battle today is for your mind, because that's where you can see things. I am telling you, try it this week. If there's something you want God to do for you, don't just say, pray, Lord, please do this. Start to consciously visualize it as done. See that person healed and walking into church. See them getting up out of their bed and walking into church. See it as a done thing. See your family healed, Sister Maggie. See them back together. Because it's what you can imagine, God has said, cannot be stopped. This is for a later lesson, but Romans speaks about the law of faith. There is a spiritual law of faith. I think Romans 3:28. So faith works if we employ it, just as we employ gravity, just as we employ all the other electrical laws, but it is a spiritual law of great power. So your mind is the eyes of your understanding. That's where the devil wants to block, because he knows once you start to have faith, once you start seeing things as done deals, there's going to be nothing he can do about it, because God has already said it. Nothing will be restrained. Amen. So this is the operation of faith. I'm giving you some practical things now to exercise your faith. It's not just saying, Lord, I believe. But it's more than that. It's if you get that belief where you start seeing it, where it can't be seen, then you're starting to walk in the supernatural law of faith. See, the reason why other people can't come is because the scripture says they have a darkened understanding. They cannot see in the spiritual. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened. Do you see the contrast? If you have your understanding enlightened, you have a connection with God. But if you have that faith organ darkened, being alienated means separated from the life of God through ignorance. That is them because of their blindness of their heart. That's what it's speaking about. Because their faith organ isn't open to understanding, the scripture calls it a blindness. And that's what the scripture says, right? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are. And then he goes on to explain how it's hid. Because the God of this world hath done what? Do you understand how powerful it is if Satan can blind your spiritual organ? He's not talking about this sight. In fact, Jesus, again, when he was speaking to the Pharisees, made it plain. He said, you are blind guides. Was he speaking about their eyesight? No. They had no enlightenment unto the truth, word of God. And so we see that contrast. God is saying, if you want to have your faith really start to power, start to imagine it. Don't just call it out. Close your eyes. Do whatever you need to do. But visually, in your imagination, see this thing done. See it done. Because we can see now in the scriptures I've shown this connection between faith and spiritual sight, not this eyesight. There are many tricks your eyes can play on you. A couple years ago, I taught a lesson and I showed some what they call visual objects that weren't real. They looked real, but they weren't real. Your eyes were playing tricks on you. They have come to find out that eyewitness testimony isn't so good after all. Did you know that? People have been mistaken. People have been executed because of a wrong visual eyesight definition. We see that a moment Satan spoke to Eve, he started to use this instead of what was inside. The Bible says she saw. What was she doing? She had put down her faith organ. She was listening to a word that was directing her to use this. The Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. It's a powerful thing if we start to visualize the finished product. Amen. A darkened understanding means having no faith. No faith. Try it this week. Instead of just praying for something, pray for something and then close your eyes and start to see it. And before you know it, you will be smiling. I've seen people, they can't help it. Once they start to really see the thing and they start to see it and it starts to actually encourage belief, they start to smile, even with their face closed, with their eyes closed. Because what that shows is that they're beginning to cross a line of, well, maybe this is possible. Maybe this is possible. So faith then, is your faith, is your imagination organ. And so that's why, and that's where the Spirit can speak to us. Romans 7:23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law. He calls it the law of my mind. Well, the law of your mind is all about your imagination and bringing me into captivity. And that's why we close our eyes, because if we're trying to imagine Paris, it's very hard to imagine Paris with your eyes open. Because this overrides that. That's why the Bible says we have to walk by faith and not by sight. If we look at the situation with just these eyes tell us truth, but it's only partial truth. As they say in the court, when they go to affirm or to swear, they say, you promise to tell what? The truth and the whole truth. Well, your eyes, your five senses only will tell you partial truth because they don't have the spiritual information. They don't see in the spirit world. And I'm going to show you that. I guess I better hurry up here. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of mind. That is the battle. Satan will give you the physical. You'll see your child sick with these eyes and the devil saying, well, they really are sick. You have to deny that reality and claim God's reality. Amen. Paul here in verse 24 says, oh, wretched man that I am. You see, this is really the sin that Adam and Eve gave us, is giving us the tree of knowledge of good and evil information, which now tells our senses this is reality, instead of our knowledge and the word coming directly from God and his word being the reality. And I call it tree knowledge. It's very hard to put down tree knowledge. This is really, I think, the root cause of our problem is what Adam and Eve did. They gave us the ability to have our five senses override our faith organ. And that's why Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The good thing is he doesn't end Romans on chapter 7. Because in Romans chapter 8 he says, thanks be to who? Amen. For through the Spirit, I don't have to walk after this flesh. Amen. Let's go on. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. He's saying, I've got a made up mind. I'm determined that anytime I see some negative things, I'm going to believe God. And if God says that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. God told these Israelites, walk up to this river. It's more than a mile across, flowing in the spring. It's at flood stage. Walk up to it and keep on walking. Now that's tough, isn't it? I've done a hypothetical test. Anyone want to come up here and volunteer to sit in my chair? And you're all saying, I don't see a chair here. Right? You can't see a chair there. And so nobody is going to do that. This is what stops us. You see, it was just me telling you that. But what if God told you that? Then what would you do? Would you still say, I see no chair there? You see, that would be truth from these eyes, but not truth in total. It's the partial truth, not the whole truth. But if God tells you there's a chair there, you can sit down and believe there's going to be a chair there. He says, underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Amen. Even if you don't see no chair there, the angel's going to catch you. Amen. Amen. So I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, Paul was saying, listen, I've understood how this thing works now. If I use my flesh and just look at the situation, the operation of faith is not going to work because I don't see no chair there. I don't see no chair there. But I'm going to serve God with my mind. I'm going to start lifting spiritual weights with my imagination. I'm going to see the completed work. I'm going to Macedonia, and there's going to be a church there. I can see souls being saved. I'm going to go out to witness, and I know God is going to send me someone. Even though I can't see none, I don't know who, God is going to do it. That's how it works. You start to claim it and start to see it as the finished work. Amen. This is the operation of faith. Let's go on. The body, then, should serve the soul. That's what Paul was saying. The body should serve the soul. The body wants to do its own thing, but he says, with my mind, I myself am going to serve the law of God. Now, eventually, your body's going to have to follow your mind. Amen. With the spirit, the soul should serve the spirit, and the spirit serves God. We're a body, soul, and spirit, and that's how it should work. We have to have, then, to be able to use our faith organ, I have a transformed mind. If you conform to this world and clutter up your faith organ with this world, it's like starting an old, 20-year-old car or trying to. I have a picture of me and my brother when I was about 12 in England, and we're standing beside the first car my dad bought when he went to England. And it was electric start, but it also had a crank. I don't know if they had those in America, where you would put the bar in there and you could crank it start. Now, I know that sounds old. I guess it is. I have to show you that picture. It was a Morris Minor car, and we were so happy when he got a car. But every now and then, you could go in the front and you'd crank it. You have to go and crank it. Now, why I'm saying that is this. God has given us better cars than that now, right? But if you didn't know how to start this car and didn't know you could crank it, you would be stuck there when the electric didn't work. We have to have a transformed mind so that our faith organ, you know how to crank it. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. What does that mean? What does it mean to be transformed? What does he mean transformed? How can your mind be transformed? Renewed. What I believe he's saying is a complete new way of thinking. You look at the situation differently because you're not looking at it just with these eyes. I don't want to bore you telling you all my testimonies, how God, did my mortgage thing for me. But God is so good. God is so good. But since living here in the last 2 months, let me just tell you this. We finally got the house rented out down there. It still doesn't cover the mortgage, but still, praise God. But because now I'm not living there, the township got in touch with me and said, you no longer qualify for homestead. So that means we're going to raise your taxes. We're going to raise your taxes about $200 a month since you're not living there anymore and you got it rented out. So I said, okay. Well, Lord, you will deal with this situation. So you know what? I said to my wife, you know what? We need to either try and sell it now or refinance it. And so I thought about doing that. And then out of the blue, and I know that this is God again. This is how God works. The bank called me. Chase Bank called me and said, the manager called me and said, hey, I've been looking at your mortgage, and I think you qualify for this refinance program. Can I have someone call you from our broker? Isn't God? I'm declaring now. Let me tell you, this hasn't happened. I am going to see this in my mind, a done deal. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to put into practice what I'm telling you. I'll come back to you and I'm going to tell you when it's done. I see this. They're going to do it for me. They're going to do it for me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. And we have to have a renewed mind. You know, before this, I'd have looked at that and got all scared when they said, well, your payment is going up $200 a month, of course. So the mortgage company immediately changed the escrow and tacked that on. So now I'm paying, you know, a couple hundred more a month, which wasn't in my budget. But, you know, I wasn't worried. Now, if I hadn't had my mind renewed, I'd be going, what am I going to do? What can we do? What can we sell? What can we do? But I just had a peace about it. And within the same 3 days, 3 days later, Chase Bank called me and said, we want to talk to you. Blessing will chase you. Remember what he preached last night, the commanded blessing? And there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. When he commands the blessing in the sixth year, you will reap double. And then you'll have a year of rest. I don't want to go off topic, but he pointed out something great last night. He said, what God was really telling them is, we don't want you to work for a year. I want you to just trust me that in the sixth year, you'll gather double. And the next year, just don't work. You won't have to work. Come and sit in my chair. Having a transformed mind. Let's go on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you think Jesus worried? Why? Because he could see everything that was going to happen as if it was. He calls those things that are as though they. Do you know that applies to us? That's what I told you. He's not looking at you in your half-baked state right now. But he's seeing you, the finished child of God, the glorified, just as he is. He calls those things that are not. How is he doing? That's why Jesus wasn't worried, because he saw, he could see everything that was going to happen as if it had happened. Peter, before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, I'm not. I'll die for you. I'll die for you. I'm telling you that a transformed mind is looking at the same thing but differently. I am definitely a glass half full person. I never look at the situation half empty, never. And I think as a Christian, that should not be our option. Well, glass is half empty. No, it's halfway full, a little bit more and it'll be full. We have to have a transformed mind the way we look at things. This is the operation of faith. Let this mind be in you. Paul to the Philippians, and when he was writing this, where was he? He was in jail. He was in jail facing any day execution. He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying we can have the mind of Christ, and the way we can have it is by using our faith organ, Sister Zipporah. Amen. 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 You see, there's a court above the Supreme Court, and that's the court that has the last jurisdiction. And as I said yesterday, when God says, let there be, the only answer is. When God says, let there be, the only answer is? And it was so. All we need is for God to say, let there be. There is no force. There is nothing that can resist when God says, let there be. The only answer is, and it was so. And Paul here in the Philippians is saying, let this mind be in you. So having a transformed mind is necessary for the fullness of faith. Because if we don't, we're letting doubt and other things. It's just like the physical heart. You eat all the wrong foods, your heart doesn't work very well, right? They tell you it's clogged and you have to, you know, they do cholesterol and the good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. I don't really know about that. But we can do the same thing with our spiritual organ. We can clog it with fear and doubt and unbelief. We have to have a transformed mind. We need to go and get a spiritual oil change the oil filter. And it's when we come to church that happens. How do I know that? What is the scripture that supports that? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by... That's why it is the worst thing you can do when you're in trouble to stay away from church. That's the worst thing you can do. I've been telling several people recently, they've been going through some things. I said, no matter what, come to church. We're not going to be judging you. Come to church. You're going to hear a word that will encourage you. The more you stay away from church, the weaker you will get. Because your faith organ gets elevated through the word. What I'm telling you now is working on your faith organ. You're in for a spiritual oil change. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at it practically in some scriptures. John chapter 20, verse 24. Here's how this works. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. After his resurrection, he appeared, but one of them was missing. That was Thomas. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, I saw him when they nailed him. I saw when they put the spear in him. What was he talking about? He's talking about this flesh. And with this flesh, what was supposed to happen is completely impossible. You can't have someone who was crucified and then a spear stuck right up into their heart come back to life. It is impossible. With men, it is impossible. But with God, the other disciples therefore said, we have seen the Lord. But he said, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger. What is he doing? He's using his tree knowledge. The eyes, the touch, to say, okay, when I've done it, then I know it's true. That will block faith. If you're waiting for yourself to validate God's judgment, you will never get an answer. See, and that is the tree knowledge that Adam and Eve left us with, is when we have to say, we have to touch it, we have to see it before it's real. But if you can start seeing it in the spiritual, just as I've declared to you, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you that they're going to redo it again. I'm declaring this now. I see it. Amen. It's going to happen. We have seen the Lord, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands and put my finger into the print of his nails and thrust, I will not believe. Well, there you go. He's from Missouri, right? The show me state. Christians, we're not supposed to be from Missouri. We are supposed to be from the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. So faith is seeing what has not yet been manifested by your senses. If you're waiting to declare it when you see it, then that's not faith. See, as I said, none of you would come and sit in my beautiful... Can't you see how beautiful this is? This is an ornate chair. It has got some of the most Tempur-Pedic cushions. No, I understand why you wouldn't want to trust my word. But you know, God is actually saying that to a lot of us. He's not saying about a chair, but there are some issues in your life. He's already told you, trust me. I've got it all worked out. And you're saying, but I can't see it, Lord. You're doing exactly what Thomas is. Start to believe. Start to see it in your imagination. See the fruition of it. So the operation of faith is where believing becomes seeing. That is the operation of faith. It's not just saying, I believe. Everybody can say that. But it's where your belief becomes spiritually visual. Let's go on. So believing is seeing. Now let give you another Old Testament example, and you all know this. 2 Kings 6:17. Now Elisha had been giving away the secrets to the king. Every time the king of Assyria came to attack, God gave him the knowledge, and Israel was able to to dodge the ambush. And he got fed up with this. And so finally he found out it's the prophet. The prophet's been telling all the secrets. So he sent a whole army. A whole army. Doesn't it feel that way sometimes? The devil has sent a whole army after you. Amen. Well, I don't know about you. Sometimes it feels he sent a whole army. And they were holed up in this village. But Elisha wasn't worried at all. Because he could see something his servant couldn't. But his servant was using the tree knowledge, and he said, "We're in trouble, Elisha. There's only two of us, and there's this whole army surrounding this whole town. What are we going to do?" Now, this servant was not blind. He was not physically blind, but apparently he was spiritually blind. His faith organ, his imagination was dulled. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." That's what we need to pray today. Lord, open my faith eyes. So I can see all the beautiful furniture you have for me, all the blessings you have for me, that if I would just step out in faith. Peter says to Jesus, "Bid me come to thee." And as I've said, to me, I feel I've been walking on that one word for the last 11 years. Jesus said one word, "Come." And he stepped out the boat and he kept his eyes on Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes feeding his faith organ on Jesus, everything was fine. The moment he started to take in the tree knowledge and looked around and said, "Wait a minute, I'm walking on water. That's not possible." And not only that, there's a storm here and the waves are, what does the Bible say? He began to sink. The lack wasn't in Jesus' word or his power. It was where his eyes were looking. He turned his spiritual eyes and took in the natural eyes and said, "This is impossible." That's why we have to walk by faith, not by what we can see. Lord, open his eyes. This servant must have been so shocked. He must have been like, "Wow." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. If that would be a prayer today, "Lord, I'm going through some things. I can't see how this is going to work. I don't. In the physical, it's a dead thing. It's impossible." If we could pray this prayer, "Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Let me start seeing this from your perspective. How this could work out to the good. How you can bring back a dead situation. You can raise Lazarus. You can heal the brokenhearted. You can bring back a prodigal son. You can make him have a change of heart in the pig pen. I don't see how this is going to work out." But you start visualizing. Let me tell you something. In the parable, if the father never thought it was possible, why was he wasting his time standing out there looking? In the parable, the father must have known and believed that one day he would see what he had already seen in his spirit. He had already seen it in his spirit. That's, you don't go out waiting for somebody unless you're expecting them to come. He was expecting what happened to happen. "Lord, open my eyes." Now, there's some areas where my faith is weaker. Now, when it comes to financial things, God has just done so much stuff for me that there's no way I disbelieve him. But there's some other areas now I need more faith. I need to start exercising in those things. You know, when you go into a gym, they don't just have one piece of equipment. They have all kinds because you need to do the biceps and the triceps, you know. So if you have faith in the financial area, okay, now you just move that over into the healing and sickness area or into the, for your family situation area. You start believing and you seeing your son or daughter come back. You start seeing this person healed and walking. That's how it works. Believing is seeing. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. He must have, his mouth just, I can imagine this young man looked and go, "Wow. They're in trouble. We're not in trouble. These people are in trouble." And to show you that this miracle was there to relate to eyesight, what did Elisha do to the army? He opened the young men's eyes and he blinded the soldiers' eyes. They thought it was in their might and what they could see. They could capture these little two pipsqueaks. In fact, the king doesn't even know what he's doing, sending all of us. Three of us could take them. They were looking at it through their sight. So God reversed it. He opened the young man's faith organ and blinded the soldiers. So they needed to be led around. Isn't God awesome? And he saw that the whole mountain was surrounded. We had a missionary at our SOAR meeting. His name was Brother Muta. And he taught such a wonderful testimony of how so many times the angels appeared in front of them, of how they went to a service in the Muslim countries and their tent blew down. There was a rainstorm and they knew that there was some Al-Qaeda people coming to do stuff, and the rain destroyed their bomb. You know, at first everybody was wondering, well, you know, how come God sent a thunderstorm, blew down the tent, and the rain was falling? But even in that, people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And they couldn't understand, well, Lord, why did you let this happen? But there were two bombers in the crowd with backpacks, and their bombs got waterlogged and wouldn't explode. And then they heard everybody speaking in tongues, and they went forward, and that's how they found out who they confessed and were saved and filled. Isn't God amazing? When you visualize the end from the beginning, you're starting to have the mind of God, because he calls those things that are not. He sees the chair. We need to do some declarating, but from our faith organ. Amen. Let me show you how, again, this has worked. Faith is a process of making manifest a spiritual possibility. We know the story of Jesus not too long before his crucifixion. He was coming out of Jerusalem, Mark 11:13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now, I don't know if you notice, Jesus answered the fig tree. You didn't realize the fig tree was speaking to him? Well, Jesus answered the fig tree and said, no man eat fruit of thee. Why did he curse it? Well, obviously it had spoken to him in a fashion. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee thereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, looking at the fig tree, did anything happen to it? No, you could not see anything happen to it. But immediately Jesus spoke, something happened to that fig tree. It was as dead as if it had keeled over and crumpled up into ashes. Because Jesus was seeing the finished fig tree, his disciples were still looking at it and saying, well, that's surprising. Usually when he says stuff, it happens immediately. That's how we are. Pastor prays for you and it doesn't happen immediately. Well, it's not going to happen. The disciples heard it and they were looking at the fig tree and nothing had changed. You see, faith is the process of making a spiritual act manifest, and you do that by seeing the finished result. Of course, you speak to your situation. Amen. Amen. He said, speak to this mountain and it will be gone. Even the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says, because she said, where did she say it? In her faith organ. If I touch him. She said, she was speaking to her faith organ. She said in her heart, if I touch him, I will be healed. And then she put action behind the imagination and went to touch him, which was illegal for her. Because if you had an issue of blood under Jewish laws, you shouldn't be out in public because you would defile anybody you touched. Now the next day, and Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest, it's withered away. That was the next day. Because it didn't happen straight away, because they were looking in. But now they come by, and they saw now that the spiritual has become physical. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How do you not doubt in your heart? Well, to me, one of the ways is you see the mountain being cast. You don't just say it, but visualize, use your imagination. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Man, back in Genesis, forced God to intervene. They believed they could build this temple, this tower. And God said, yes, they can. I'm going to have to stop them. Because nothing that man has imagined shall be restrained. Amen. I hope you have a new way of looking at faith today. I want you this week to start not just saying, I believe, praying for things, but seeing it. And I believe you will not be able to stop smiling. You, once you start to believe this thing, a smile will come. You won't be trying not to smile. Because when you see what you've asked for spiritually, you start to, in your spirit, worship. You start to begin to thank God even before it's done. I'm thanking God because I know what He's going to do. I know what He's going to do. I'm seeing it and I declare it. He's going to do it. Amen. 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 Let's go on, and I'm almost finished. Therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever he desire, when he pray, believe that he received them. That means you have to see it. And he shall have them. So the mind, as I've been saying, is your faith organ. Because that's where your imagination is centered. You must see the answer. Going back again to Genesis 11:6, because this is the whole key to this operation of faith. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. When you're on one accord, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. That applies to this church, you know. If we're on one accord, if we're speaking with the same word, whatever we have imagined to do, that the Lord will use us to fill this church, to win souls. If we can see ourselves as a soul winner, as a healer, as a deliverer sent by God. If you can see yourself being used. Now nothing. Does it say nothing or does it say nothing? Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So this verse is actually about faith. It is actually about faith because to imagine something, you have to believe it. You have to start seeing it take shape. Amen? So nothing that they had imagined was going to be restrained. They imagined themselves building this tower, and it may have looked impossible, but because they imagined it, God said they're going to do it. Amen. So you won't receive it unless you can see it. Let's look at these two types of vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, and I'll soon be finished. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. When God has a plan, he gives it as a vision or a dream. And make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. If God has given a vision, when he gave a vision to the prophets, it was going to happen. Philip? You have to really shout. You're coming to my next slide. You're coming to my next slide. See, you have to have your own vision. How did Job survive his crisis? I'll tell you how. He had a vision. He saw. Look at what he says. How did he get through all the things? His family died. His wealth taken. The devil put sickness. How did he? Because he had a faith organ that would not let go the vision. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand on the earth at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, look at this. Yet, he's declaring, I'm going to see God. I shall see God. You see how he overcame? He had this vision that no matter what was happening, even if God let him die, he believed in the resurrection, basically. He believed that even if this sickness killed him, one of these days, he was going to see his Redeemer, and he was going to be resurrected and see him. I shall see God. That's what he was seeing in his imagination, because this hadn't happened. Jesus hadn't come. So the only way Job could have seen this was a revelation from the Spirit, and he saw it internally. He says, whom I shall see for myself. That's what you were talking about. You have to have a vision. You have to start to see the things for the faith to be manifested in your life. He says, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, not another. Though my reins be consumed, though this body dies one day, I'm going to be in the resurrection. Did you see what Job is saying? It's the same thing that Abraham believed in. Romans explains that when he took his son to execute him, the only reason he could do it is because he saw his son still alive because God had given him a promise that through your seed are all the nations going to be blessed. So he knew, he saw, even if he killed him, God was going to raise him back up. You have to have a vision. That's what I'm telling you. For faith organ to really be able to function. Here's Job. For I shall see him for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him. And he was saying this hundreds. They say Job was a contemporary of Abraham, so this would have been a couple thousands of years before Christ came. He had a vision of the Redeemer. He had a vision of the resurrection. Despite his wife in Job 2:9 saying, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" See, this is how Satan will try and give you fear. It'll come through the same channel. Just as faith comes through hearing, so does fear. It's what you've heard or what you saw that is going to come and attack you. Why don't you curse God and die? God doesn't care about you. But the Bible says in all this, Job kept his integrity and he kept his vision. I just think this is the key to Job's success is chapter 90, when he says, "I shall see God. I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself." He believed in the resurrection. I know. How did he know that my Redeemer liveth? Do you know that your Redeemer liveth? Are you going to claim the same thing as Job, that you're going to see him even if your body is consumed, even if you're sick, even if you're discouraged, even if people are telling you, "Why don't you give up going to church? Why are you following that?" They call us a cult sometimes. Job held on to his integrity. Why? He had a vision. He was seeing through his faith organ that I know that my Redeemer liveth. I can't explain what's happening to me. I have no explanation of all the things. I don't know what I've done. But I do know this. God is good. God is just. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see. He is going to raise me up even if I die. Amen. We're back to Hebrews 11:3. The evidence of things not seen. If there are things that you want in your life, don't just pray, "Lord, I believe." Go the next step. Start seeing it. Close your eyes. Start seeing what you just asked for. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. How did they hold on? Having seen them. Not with their natural eyes, but through eyes. That's how they did it. How did Abraham keep walking? He was a rich man. He could have built a palace. But he lived in a tent because he could see the New Jerusalem. It says, having seen them afar off. Can you see the promise that God has given you? Because that's the key. If you can see it, that promise is going to be fulfilled. Peter, come. Peter got out the boat and was walking on the one word. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews explains, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I just showed you a chair. But Abraham was looking for a city. God said to him, "I've got this invisible city. You just keep coming, Abraham." And Abraham saw it. He used his faith organ. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I'm almost finishing. Look what Proverbs 29:18 says. Where there is no vision, and I put in brackets sight, and I'm talking, I believe that's faith, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Without a vision, you're without faith. You're without faith. And we see that in Jacob's dream. He had a vision. And he called that place Bethel, the house of God. On his way running away from home, God gave him a vision. And he made a compact with God. He said, "Lord, if you will return me and keep me and bring me back one day that I can come back to my father's house in peace, I'm going to serve you." God gave him a vision. And that vision kept him the next 21 years. Again, it didn't happen overnight. But he never forgot the vision of Bethel. In fact, he made an altar there. And then in Genesis 49, when he was dying, he said, the God who has been my shepherd my whole life long. He kept that vision of Bethel. He kept that faith that God was going to bring him back, because God showed him this ladder. And at the top, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. God made a vision appear in his faith organ, and that kept him. Faith is believing and then seeing your vision. Here's your scripture, Philip. Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And he's got something for us. I'm not calling you old, Brother Putnam. I'm almost there, though. Shall dream dreams. I don't dream too often, but when it does, it's always something. It's always something. See, the last thing, as I said, is the first thing I said. The first thing you have to see is God's love for you. He calls those things that are not as though they be. If you see yourself all the time as a failure and a wretch, then Satan's already got you half defeated. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, not a little bit conquerors. We have to see ourselves as the finished product. As long as we are separated, as long as we're sanctified. You know my favorite scripture, Hebrews 10:14, right? Those who are being made perfect. When we separate ourselves, then God is doing the perfection. As long as you're doing that, then we can look in the mirror of his grace. And he calls those things that are not as though they be. God is looking at you as his perfected child. If we understood that, if we believed that, when we prayed, we'd have such powerful prayers, because we would know that God is just as he did with Jesus coming out the water. This is my beloved son. As long as you are separated, God is saying, this is my beloved child. And he is saying, I'm well pleased. Now that's the hard part for us to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe that God is pleased, because Satan is always saying, yeah, but. You know this and this, you didn't pray, you didn't do this, you said this. And what Satan is bringing is our now and our past. Jesus only brings our future. His very name means, is the future tense of the verb to be. Yeshua, he shall. God isn't the God of the past. No more when it comes to Jesus. But it says he shall save his people from their sins. And he is looking at the end result. Amen. Let's stand this morning. So I hope you've been blessed. And I hope you will try out this week. When you pray, don't just say, I believe. But close your eyes and say, I see and I believe. I see and I believe. That song by G.T. Haywood, I see a crimson stream of blood that flows from Calvary. Its waves which reach the throne of God are flowing over me. That's what we have to see. We have to see Christ's death for us and how that wipes away all our sins. When we get to that place where our faith organ is fully operating, there is nothing that will be restrained. We will speak to this mountain and say, be removed into yonder sea, and Jesus said it will happen. But it's like any other muscle. It doesn't happen overnight. I started going back to the gym last week, and I watched all of these people lifting, 200 pounds, and I said, that looks good. But I'm smart enough not to go try it right away. I'm going to ease up there. And I got on the treadmill, and there were some people doing, 10 miles an hour, and I'm just walking. I don't have no ego to prove. God is dealing with me in his own time. You start from wherever you are. God's GPS, God's personal guidance system will say recalculating, and he'll guide you back. We're coming from different paths, but we're going to the same place. And if we will start to see ourselves as the finished product, that will give us so much faith. Our prayers will be so strengthened. Amen. We're going to close this Sunday school, but I want you to try this out this week. Instead of just praying, I believe,
Say, I see and I believe. And if that doesn't make you smile, if you can start visualizing it, see your child healed, see your children delivered, see God using you to witness, see your blessing coming, seeing your job being given a promotion, or whatever it is you need, start to visualize it. Use your faith organ and watch what God will do. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and our hearts at this time. Lord, we just...